So given the times we are in, I don't think it's a coincidence that we have just finished studying the Beatitudes. When I say it's not a coincidence, on some levels, of course it is, but I believe it's one of those God-breathed, Holy Spirit-inspired coincidences that seem to happen when we are open to seeking God together. So the series on the Beatitudes has ended now. So what? How do we try and live the Beatitudes out more fully in relevant ways for the times that we are living in? And the context, as we all know, is one of an ever-increasing easing of our lockdown lives. But with it comes the uncertainty of what it will mean for our future well-being, health-wise, economically and socially, and that further waves of the pandemic may just be around the corner. But also we live, as we were reminded by Billy Kennedy's excellent and powerful teaching last week, it was challenging us to confront our own blind spots when it comes to racial injustice, that we live in a world that bears the daily scars of our missing the mark, and that is longing for the loving reconciliation of its creator and sustainer. And so in all of this, we naturally start to think ahead and wonder what life will be like for us when we get to the other side of all this. That's one of those new phrases that we've developed, like Corona Coaster, Blue Sky Thinking, COVIDiot, or the more serious and one of my favourites, Out of an Abundance of Caution. But seriously, it's the key question of our times, especially for us as Christ followers, because this is the context into which we have been called. God's mission never changes, but our context always requires us to adjust how we communicate and live it out. Of course, we are still called to bring more of God's kingdom in a Jesus kind of way, to share our wonderful message about a loving God who wants relationship with us through Jesus Christ. That this is the only way of living a fully human life, and at the same time, a truly free existence. And it's a relationship that starts now and goes on forever. That's the good news, and is a clear message of hope for our communities that are in reality desperate to hear, see, and understand it, even if most people wouldn't be brave or honest enough to admit it. But if you're anything like me, this can all seem a bit, well, overwhelming. Like, where do I start? How do I start? What can I do to really make a difference? What will be my new normal? That's another one of those phrases. Our instincts can be to hide, to hunker down, to wait until we see the big flashing God sign, or just wait until we think it's safe for us and our loved ones to go out. There's just a lot to think about, isn't there? How do we start to pick our way forward? And as we do, be good news. So in the next 15 minutes, I just want to share some thoughts that I've had on what now, to hopefully encourage, challenge and inspire you this morning that however our lockdown experience has been, that we all have much to bring. And as ever, God wants very much to work with us and through us. So, Tim, can I have the first clip, please? The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Or as other versions translate it, let's enter into the joy of your master. These are the words of Jesus in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:21. Jesus repeats these words for emphasis in this parable to underline the point that it brings God great joy when we are faithful in and do the everyday small things that bring life. Especially at this time, I believe it's all about us learning to make the small moves. If you are still feeling a bit stuck in lockdown frustration at the moment, like you're not getting anywhere and it's not getting any easier anytime soon, then as the father in the movie clip said to his daughter, God wants you to get a hang of the small moves. The clip is from the film First Contact, and the best way we can make first contact or reconnect with our communities is to use our God-given talents in the small everyday things. Our charismatic Christian tradition has historically tended to focus us on the next big thing, expecting the next big powerful move of God in revival, prophetically, in healing, in the miraculous, the big answer to prayer. And there's nothing really wrong with this. In fact, it's brought and it still brings so much faith and life. But focusing exclusively here can be exhausting. And if we are honest, it can make us feel constantly inadequate or leave us feeling disillusioned. And maybe we end up just a bit stuck, waiting for that big God sign, but never really finding it. So rather than watch and wait, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach us again how to simply respond, to focus us on the often still, small, quiet inner voice, to learn each day to wait, hear and respond to the often tiny promptings and nudgings of the Holy Spirit, inspiring us to share Jesus in the small acts of love and kindness. After all, Jesus is God's ultimate signpost the world is really waiting for. And it's in us consistently pointing the way to Jesus in the small, everyday things that often reveals that the best. This is the Beatitudes in action. Here's a quote that I really like from someone called Mike Glenn, who I found out is a senior pastor at Brentwood Baptist Church. That's in the USA. And he's also an author and a speaker. Remember, God never put us in charge of everything. He has never abdicated his throne to one of us. Adam was given a garden. That's it. Likewise, each of us is given our own gardens. We're only responsible for our little part of the world. We're responsible for our relationship to God, our families, our communities, and our mission in the world. That's it. One of the most important decisions we can make is to determine where our garden is. We have each been given a garden. I want to challenge you this morning to think through where your garden is. Maybe it's making the first move and speaking to a neighbour for the first time in years. Maybe it's sharing a smile and saying hello as you walk around your neighbourhood. Maybe it's stopping to offer to help. Or maybe it's stopping and chatting rather than carrying on with the task in hand. Or just maybe it's being bold and sharing about Jesus and what he means to you. As we continue to ease out of lockdown and re-navigate our worlds, let's start with small moves, using our God-given talents to care for the garden God has given us. Let's sow small, but intentionally at this time. Amen. Okay, Tim, second clip, please. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Well, if I wonder if the director of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade drew inspiration from Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Almost certainly not, but the scene captures so well the essence of what the writer of Hebrews is trying to teach us. As most of you will have seen the film at least once, I suspect, you will know the Crusade was all about finding the Holy Grail, the supposed communion cup used by Christ at the Last Supper. Of course, trying to find something of such immeasurable significance involved a lot of risk, some tricky choices, and this one literal step of faith. The thing is, Indiana Jones had to have a conviction that the Holy Grail was indeed there and was worth finding. Sure, his dad had been shot by others who wanted the Grail for their own darker purposes, so he also had the hope the Grail would save his dying father, but all of them had to have that same conviction of his existence and its value, that finding it would make a real difference. If we are going to make those small daily moves and choose to live out of the Beatitudes, then it will require us to take steps of faith, because the wisdom of Hebrews 11 verse 1, the wisdom of the Beatitudes is not the wisdom of this world. We need to continue to grasp hold of the conviction that by stepping out in faith, we can and will make a difference to the lives of others and the world around us. We have to continue to believe that what God initiated through Jesus will be completed, that the things we can't yet see will one day be crystal clear, and that God wants us to be a part of making this the reality, that this Christian life is the only way to be fully human and truly free. Gavin Calvert, CEO of the Evangelical Alliance, recently wrote about how we can show our difference at this time. The church needs to not panic and should be a non-anxious presence during this time of crisis. We need to stand out as different to the world, being brave and kind to those around us as we continue to serve our communities. He then went on to say, as Christians, we cannot miss the opportunity to show the difference Jesus makes in our lives during times of uncertainty. So in times that are definitely are uncertain, when we choose to take steps by faith, however small they may be, we are in effect living out and speaking out to the world and its systems and structures and to our communities and loved ones that yes, we do believe. And yes, we do think it's really worth it. It's then that those around us start to see and hear something different. We suddenly change the storyline from what they were expecting. We have something different to say. They might not know it yet, but what they are hearing and seeing is the good news of the kingdom of God. Okay, now I know I've shown this final clip before, but I never get tired of watching it, so please bear with me. It's the final scene of the final ever Rev. Rev is a sitcom about Adam Smallbone, who becomes the vicar of an inner city church after leaving a small rural parish. At this concluding point in the story, Adam's ministry is over. His church faces closure. His personal credibility is totally shot to pieces. And he's losing the will to go on and his sanity with it. It's then that he has an unlikely encounter with an unknown stranger.
I like your dance. Yeah, thanks.
Talking of strange God encounters, here's another one from John 3, verses 1 to 10. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Jesus showed up as a big surprise to most of his day. He did and said a lot of surprising things in the context of being a first century Jew. And Jesus is just as surprising, perhaps even more so, to our 21st century Western minds and culture. In his encounter with Jesus, which was probably at night because seeking out the controversial teacher of the law would have been frowned upon by the religious establishment, it's clear Nicodemus was incredibly surprised and perplexed by the answer he got. Be born of the Spirit? That's because it was a paradigm shift for him. This wasn't how it was meant to be. it didn't fit his religious grid. You can almost hear Nicodemus wrestling with it. But I've already been born by God's life-giving spirit into the people of God. I'm a Jew, a teacher. I live according to the covenant, the law. I understand how this all works between God, the land, and us. But Jesus was signaling something very different, a recreation event, no less. A new creation, not based on transaction, law, or land, but on what God wanted to place in every heart to make it new, the indwelling of his spirit. Where Adam came as the first human in creation, Jesus came as the firstborn of the Holy Spirit, of the new creation. Now, whether you have been in this wonderful River family for a long time, or you are relatively new, or somewhere in between, I sense this is a time when the Holy Spirit wants to teach us again what it really means to be born from above. That this is actually a recreation moment for us. That this is a time for us to be truly open again, to be surprised by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've woken up this morning as a thoroughly surprised and almost bewildered Arsenal fan. Where did that big game win suddenly come from? And where is it leading? I don't know. Answers on a postcard, please. In his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus teaches us that the Spirit blows where he will. It's like the wind. You can hear its sound, you can feel its presence on you, but you can't really tell where it has come from and where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I believe Jesus is speaking these words to us right here and right now. In her book, The Disciple, Lucy Pepiat writes, "We should not be surprised to be disorientated and wrong-footed by the Spirit. He constantly breaks and remoulds our view of God, dismantling the perspectives that have become warped and distorted, and bringing fresh and new perspectives on who God is for us." Perhaps the greatest surprise, the thing that perplexes us the most, is that we can even attempt this life of following Christ at all, let alone the fact that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God sees us all as we will be in our perfection. That living out the Beatitudes isn't just a nice idea or an ideal, it's our reality. And if this all seems overwhelming, then that's because in many ways it is. Like Adam in the clip, maybe you have been trying to keep it going in your own strength for far too long. But you're starting to realise you just can't do it anymore. Perhaps that's the point, that it's meant to be this way, that we all really stand with Nicodemus and share his bewilderment. That it's meant to be this way because it's only possible if we understand we have to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. When we finally realise that any amount of us trying to transact or religion our way to live with God and others by being good followers of a set of standards or rituals will always lead to frustration and failure. So however hard, frustrating, painful, inconvenient, hurtful, difficult this lockdown continues to be for us, I believe it can be a time of growth. If we can learn to be real with God and let go of our illusion of control, if we can learn again that our dependency needs to be on the Holy Spirit, that we need to be open to the Holy Spirit surprising us and pushing at our boundary edges and the paradigms we live within. To keep living in the expectation our greatest surprises are still ahead of us. For the sake of our communities and for our friends, our River family, our neighbours and our loved ones. So there you go, three what now thoughts as we work our way out of lockdown and face up again to a world full of tensions. Let's focus on making those small but intentional daily moves. Steps of faith taken one at a time, prompting and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Let's be open again to the Holy Spirit moving through our lives as he will, to allow him to amaze and wrong-foot us so our dependency remains in him. Let's pause for a moment to reflect, pray, and think. I believe some of us need to learn or relearn what it feels like to hear God again in the still small voice, and to respond by making those daily small intentional moves. For some of us, it's to get back to our steps, is to get back to our steps of faith roots, of just doing whatever Jesus tells me to do. I believe some of us need to think through and decide where our garden is, and then be intentional about how we go and tend it. I believe we all need to embrace this moment as a time of recreation, of new creation, an opportunity to reset and to resolve going forward, to be truly open again to the Holy Spirit blowing through our lives where he will. Let's pray together. Tim, if you could put that slide up. And I'd invite you just to join me in praying this prayer. Lord, I want to choose you and your ways. Speak, Lord, and I will hear and obey. Lord, I want to walk with you by faith. Teach me to learn to take one step at a time. Lord, I want to be guided by your Holy Spirit in all I do and all I say. May you blow where you will in my life today. Amen.